I'd like to start off with a question, if I may. I noticed that the film lacked any crude or obscene language, and I wanted to know if that was deliberately your idea. Is that a part of your book or the filmmakers or what?
No, I felt no need. And I won't say that I would never put language like that. I mean, some people talk like that, and that's part of life, and I'm not an advocate of censorship, and I think there are some times when if we want to represent the whole range of the way the world is, some people don't talk the way we'd like our children to, but I felt no need. These are people who, I mean, I think it's a very passionate love affair, but nobody takes off their apron, you know, they're fully dressed, and I believe that that's possible, you know, to just feel that kind of chemistry and passion.
Well, the reason I asked that question is we've just gone through, you know, the month of December, where the majority of really, really great films that have come out seem to be overloaded with harsh language. I mean, really harsh language.
I'm trying to think which ones.
Well, and it just seems like no matter
Wolf of Wall Street.
Sure.
Well, and Osage County.
American Hustle.
Yes. So the list goes on and on.
Yeah.
But the thing is it seems like no matter the genre or the class of people that are being portrayed, they all seem to talk alike. It doesn't make any difference how strongly the actor works at becoming this character. He still talks the same as he did in the film before.
You know, I was raised by people who loved language. And I am always really frustrated. It just seems too easy to have a character say, oh shit, in a movie. It's like, you know, it's just almost like push this button. And so I'd rather rediscover language and think of all the ways that a person can convey.
What about in the book, a 13-year-old, like all 13-year-olds, has a fixation on masturbation?
Yes.
And
well,
that's the, you know, and then basically, even though there was interest in the sex, in terms of you know, him with his classmates, the book, it seems to be somewhat of a continuum through the book in terms of discovering his manhood, so to speak. And that was left out of the film.
I think there's some things that we can read in a book, but that wouldn't be good to see in a film. And I don't shy away.
Well, there wasn't an allusion to that in the movie that much.
Not so much. I think we do see him looking, because the film is shot through his eyes, we see him looking at the girl's bra strap, I think, and we can sort of feel 13-year-old boy, and we see him in the store looking at the magazines, you know, and we have
the
a bit
remembrance
of a,
in the bed when he's overhearing.
That's what I love.
Yeah.
I've been a mother of sons. I am not, I won't say what I'm not, I'll say what I am. I believe in talking about the difficult things. I grew up in a family where a lot was never discussed, and I would never be on the side of silence and denial about the real issues. I mean, a 13-year-old boy, that's part of a 13-year-old boy's life, and if you're telling the story of a 13-year-old boy, I think that belongs there, but it doesn't need to be spelled out. Mm-hmm. I wanted to portray, I don't just think that it's about physical stuff, you know, body parts and physical activities. It's about feelings. This is much more a movie about feelings. The mother at one point, you know, that she's lying on the hammock with her son, and she wants to have a talk about sex. But the talk about sex isn't first this happens, then this happens, and here's this, you know, activity, and there's this, you know, secretion or something. It's much, she talks about the feeling. She said that's what nobody ever talks about. And I think that we do a great disservice to young people when we suppose that young people are all just about, you know, physical acts. They're about feelings. This is a movie about heart.
I want to stay on this point because you're talking about the perspective, the advice that the mother is giving to the son, and the son's reaction or dismissal of it. But I was fascinated by the perspective that the story is told from, that you choose to tell it from the son instead of the mother. And I wondered what that allowed you to explore or focus on instead of putting it in a perspective that
would
be closer to yours.
Well, it
would have
been a lot more explicit if it was the mother. Then we would have been in the bedroom instead of on the other side of the wall, imagining.
Mm-hmm.
But I have been a single parent, and I have been, you know, a person who tried to figure out what to do with her romantic yearnings and dreams, you know, at a moment when, you know, a lot of losses had been incurred, and, you know, I was no longer young, but that didn't mean that I didn't still have some kind of hopes and dreams while I was, you know, packing the school lunches and driving everybody to the games. And I thought a lot about how it was for my children to see me. I just was me too, but I also thought about me through their eyes. The book is dedicated to my sons because they were the sons of a single mother. They felt, the other part of it is feeling enormous responsibility that, you know, a child shouldn't have to have for a parent, but he takes care of her. He is the parent in many ways. This, you know, she sort of looks to him. But I think my own experience, there's several former teenage boys here. I think teenage boys are hugely romantic. You know, there's if you haven't read the book yet, you probably haven't got to this point, but there's a place where the girl, the character Eleanor, the sort of troublemaker,
mm-hmm.
pretty much suggests she'll have sex with him, and he says no, he doesn't want to, because he's not in love. And I'm not so naive as to think that, you know, sometimes you wouldn't like that too, but this is a very tender heart. This is a boy who, this is about a boy's feelings, not just about a boy's hormones.
She was one of the saddest characters in the film.
Yes. Yes.
Even though she was the one that was bringing the humor into it,
yeah.
It was all based on extreme sadness because
yes.
she'd gone through all
and
that.
And she's a bigger character in the novel, actually. I understand why Jason didn't have her more in the, it's a 2-hour movie, you can't have everybody, but I love that character, and I think in a way she does highlight the difference between a 13-year-old girl and a 13-year-old boy. You know, she's so much more worldly than he is, you know, teaching him about incest and Bonnie and Clyde and her sort of random grab bag of stuff she's picked up, and he's just sitting there, you know, kind of credulous, you know.
You said section of the book.
This is so much fun. You know, when this book came out, I didn't really get to talk about the book this way.
Well,
so.
You talk about it very well in the back where it says, don't do this at home.
Uh-huh.
And you mentioned a couple of things that I just wonder if there's a tie-in. You mentioned with your correspondence with the California prisoner
yes.
you called Lucky.
Yes.
And then you also mentioned that this was the first story you'd ever written with a happy ending.
Yes.
And I just wondered if there's a connect between that relationship turning out not the way it did, the way you might have wanted it, happy ending of this particular story.
And I will say, just to be, you know, scrupulously factual here, I am a bit crazy, but I'm not so crazy that I ever thought I was going to go off into the sunset with Lucky. His real name was Grizzly, in fact. I didn't, and I wasn't. I was very moved by this man. I didn't have a love affair, but and nor would I have. As I said, I'm somewhat crazy, but not that crazy.
So there's a lot of Frank in him.
What the letters from him about were actually intense admiration for good writing. This man wrote wonderful letters, and I will always admire good writing. So, you know, they always say that you should write about what you know, but I think the corollary is that I like to write about what I don't know but I wish I knew, and I like to imagine what could have happened that didn't. I know very well the story of being alone as a single parent in a small town, mine was New Hampshire, raising 3 children, taking care of everybody and not being taken care of at all, except by my children. My son Charlie actually did give me a husband for a day, coupon book. But I wanted to imagine, suppose Josh Brolin had wandered into my kitchen. What would have happened? Yeah. And I always say the first person I write for is me, and I wrote the book that I would have loved to have read. I would have eaten up this book if somebody had, you know, if I had seen it in a bookstore, heard about it. I would have wanted to read that book. And It didn't exist. I hadn't seen a love affair for a person like me. So I wrote it, and I wrote it very, very fast, 10 days, because I just wanted to get to the end of it. I was like reading it as I was writing it. And that's not, I wasn't going to write a fairy tale. I wanted to write something that still came out of the way people really behave. But I freely admit to being a romantic and an idealist, the absolute best scenario that could happen, you know, which obviously was not without pain.
As someone that, and I apologize for my voice.
Admiring your voice. I was thinking you should do like voiceover or something.
Oh, thank you.
It's going to be a trailer announcement.
Man, yeah.
As someone that really concentrates on the writing, when you option a property, do you inquire as to who's going to adapt?
Oh,
like,
totally.
Like you had Buck Henry.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No. There have been people that wanted to make a film of a book of mine that I knew I wouldn't want doing
so
that.
You want to make sure that they
Jason Reitman called me up very soon after this book was published. I mean, this is a few years ago now, because I've published actually two books since then. And he said he just read the book and he cried and he wanted to make this movie. And I didn't need to look any further. I knew his films. So, yeah, once you entrust it to the director, your control is over. Mm-hmm. And your control takes the form of letting it go, to whom you let it go. But he actually was very respectful of me and the book, and he showed me that he adapted the book, but he showed me that adaptation in a couple of places. And I made some changes, not a lot, and I kind of know I wouldn't want, while I'm writing, I wouldn't want somebody standing over my shoulder giving me suggestions. That's my thing. And so when a director is making a film of my book, I need to stay away. It's not easy to do. I was dying to be there, of course. And I was there the first day and the last day. My big contribution was the pie, teaching Josh to make pie. But I had to let it go.
I have to ask you a question real quick about the pie.
Yes. We could talk about pie for hours.
We got another one coming up. This was a quickie. The three of them got their hands in there, and I'm a bit like Monk.
Yes.
Felix Unger.
Yes. So
these
it was not hygienic.
These people wash their hands first. This is what
I got. Oh, well, okay. All right. I will say, and that you, I'm probably not going to convince you of this, but I happen to believe that a certain amount of germs is a very good thing. That it builds up your immunity. This has nothing to do with my story. It's just so I'm a little bit casual that way, and I would be capable of that. I would. It would be unlikely that I would have three sets of hands in the bowl. there was a certain poetic license here. But it is about not being, it's sort of like the opposite of worrying about germs and recipes and measuring. It is about just taking flight. People seldom think as they leap into bed with each other, oh, is this hygienic? It would be a bit of a mood killer.
That's true.
I have to ask. Yeah.
These days, come on. Yeah. We all have our residences.
Actually,
What was the one thing that maybe you understand why it didn't make it or whatever? But what's the one thing that, if only it could have made it into the film?
If
was
only the state of New Hampshire. And my voice kind of cracks when I say this. I come from New Hampshire. And I have a feeling probably people here feel about Kansas City the way I feel about where I come from. I love my state, and my state is very beautiful, and I really wanted it to be New Hampshire.
Yeah.
And it's, to you probably, Massachusetts, New Hampshire, Vermont, close enough. And the only people who would notice it are New Hampshire people, but they would. It's not New Hampshire. So that's it. Everything else is okay. And it wasn't Jason's fault. New Hampshire does not give tax incentives for filmmakers, so it's very hard. So they did this crazy thing of they spent all this money making the house look really beat up, taking a very beautiful, expensive house and making it look all beat up to be Adele's house. And as my daughter, who's worked as a house painter for years, said, all you had to do was go over state lines. We've got lots of houses.
But that wouldn't employ amazing art directors.
That's true. That's what we need.
Yeah. I have a question about the relationship between Henry and Frank.
Yes.
And really, it's Adele's perception of that, that she seems to kind of acknowledge some need that she's not capable of fulfilling within Henry's relationship with this older man.
Yes.
And I was wondering your take on that, or how you approach those scenes. What about what you personally sort of endowed in Adele's take on that? Because you were a single mother.
Well,
and that seems to be...
You can love your children to death, but you cannot be their other parent. Mm-hmm. You can only be one half of the equation. And there's meant to be two parents. I don't judge anybody who can't provide it to their children, you know. But and my children did, in fact, although they were the children of a single parent, they had another parent. And so does Henry, to a point, but we gather his father's quite absent, and that there's a space that needs to be filled. I think that's something that single parents, I mean, I can't speak to single fathers, but single mothers will recognize. I did used to go out and play catch with my sons, but frankly, I was terrible at it. You know, it wasn't my good thing. And I do believe there's some things that, you know, the man is probably going to do better. One of my sons used to go over and watch football games with somebody else's dad. He borrowed a dad for that, you know. And because I wouldn't have had anything. I remember I took them to a Red Sox game one time, and somebody hit a pop fly. And I thought that was, like, good, because it was way up high. I said, wow!
You should have just called Doris Kearns Goodwin. She would have explained baseball.
Absolutely. All right, I have a silly question, but
yeah.
I don't want to get in the way of a...
We have room for one more question.
Oh, no!
I know, I'm sorry, guys.
Right. Can't we just
give like, another pie to bake?
Oh, my gosh.
Wait, do you want to ask something before I say something silly?
Well, I wanted to ask about how did you explore depression? Because you have a very honest take of depression. And
did it ring true from what you know of people who've had depression?
Well, that as well as the second child infertility and
yes.
And the loss.
I have not experienced either of those things. But I have the great gift of having had wonderful readers who tell me their stories for 35 years. Some of them I've never met, but I've gotten letters from them. You know, partly because I write pretty openly about my life, they write. So I know people. I've always say I could drive across the country and never stay in a motel because I have readers who tell me very intimate things about their lives. And some, it may partly be because they aren't going to meet me. So I have not suffered from depression, but I hope that is a picture that rings true. I didn't go to the library and read up on depression. And I certainly, I think it's a very rare person who doesn't know somebody who's had miscarriages. And it is a story, it's one of those stories that doesn't get told a lot. And I have worried a little bit about how it would be for a woman who had had that experience, never mind the stillbirth, to be caught by surprise in that movie. And I've talked to a couple of women, you know, who didn't know that was coming. And Kate Winslet couldn't go see this movie because she was pregnant. I mean, she did eventually, but she was pregnant. I think, from my own experience, as painful as it is to see those things explored, it's also kind of healing to, you know, to sort of get to work through it, to get to cry, to get to see somebody. But I hope it is that.
Okay, let's close it out with a really
yes?
silly one.
Okay.
It has to do with pies. Again.
Okay. Are you saying pie is silly?
No, no. My question is, I'm a bachelor.
Yes.
It has something to do with that germ thing.
Yeah, yeah.
We won't go there. I have no inclination to make pies.
Right.
Or an interest in making
so far.
Pies.
So far.
So what
Your
does
life
a
is not
single
over.
Man do when he's not going to make pies? He's going to go buy a frozen pie. Is there one that you would recommend? And I won't even mention the name in the article if you tell me not.
This will have to be our last question.
No, I reject that question, and I will say what you do is what you do is
married.
It is a
married.
You missed the boat. I just got married, and I in fact left a pie in the freezer for my husband, who's gotten quite attached to them. No, you go online. I anticipating this problem and this, the world of bachelors and women out there too who don't feel confident with their crust. And people are always asking me for the recipe, and it's not about the recipe, it's how you do it. So I made a little pie video, and challenge you. In fact, this would be an interesting story to tell. Be that bachelor who thinks he cannot possibly make it. Take my video. 12,000 people downloaded it this weekend because I wrote about it.
I wasn't born yesterday.
It's a wonderful platform called curious.com, and type in Joyce Maynard's homemade apple pie, and I talk you through the pie. And there's an opportunity for you to email me a photograph of your pie. Now I'm going to be watching for yours. And I'm going to tell you, I will also mention that my sons have baked their ways into the hearts of many women. Yes.
Okay. Thank you, Joyce, so much.
Really?